Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right now, we are joined by Mark Ross, NFL Network analyst, former VP of player evaluation for the New York Giants, two-time Super Bowl champ, and a lot of experience of scouting in the NFL. Mark, you're on with myself, Ron, the show, and this is Clint Sterner. I understand you scouted Clint Sterner back in the day, and I'm curious. Yeah, Clint has no idea this is coming. This is what happens when you sneak conversations behind his back. What, dog.
This is going to be great.
What do you remember about when you scouted Clint Sterner coming out of Arkansas? Remember, this guy is a two-time second team all-SEC quarterback. What do you remember about Clint Sterner?
I got to dig deep. You know, the first round, as you remember, those seventh rounders, free undrafted guys, it's harder to remember those sort of players. But I remember Arkansas was rolling it back in the day, though. I got to give Clint credit. You guys were good back then. Had a bunch of guys drafted at the time. And, you know, actually, when I was with the Eagles, we took a guy, Quentin Caver. Clint probably remembers in the second round. I thought he'd be a good player. We missed on him. But, no, he had the program in the right direction there, leading those guys.
There you go. There you go, Clint. Hey. Funny.
That's better than what I thought was coming.
I mean, I wasn't going to get to, you know arms, small, non-athletic.
Don't do that to me.
I was just going to do the good, get you the wins and the positive stuff. High character, winning, leadership.
Tough as hell. Don't leave that out, Mark. Come on, man.
Mark Ross with us. Hey, you've been around the league for a long time, and we want to get into the draft a little bit, but what's just been your overall thoughts with the Texans and now this new regime that's led by general manager Nick Caserio and his group and where they are compared to what they took over? What direction does it look like to you? It feels like the Texans are moving in a better direction.
That's really a tough question. It's hard to say at this point just because you're still not sure what direction they're going in. I mean, I'll give Nick credit. You know, he got thrown into a tough situation. I mean, he took the job. He didn't get thrown into it. But, you know, he's been handling it all the right way, his pre-draft press conferences, post-draft press conferences. After taking the quarterback and everything, he kind of said all the right things to kind of deflect from that situation. But, you know, when you look at the team and the roster, 4-win team last year, and that was with Deshaun Watson. So this year going forward, you're looking at maybe a few more years of struggling if things don't get worked out there. So, you know, if I was a Texans fan, I wouldn't have a lot of high hopes right now. You're just hoping you get some stability.
Mark, what do you think about the hires from Nick Caserio and ultimately Cal McNair, the owner of the team, the head coach David Culley? And look, I know that this is his first head job, so who knows what the hell to expect. But when you look at – I'm talking more about the group that they hired. David Culley, passing game coordinator from Baltimore, wide receivers coach. They keep Bill O'Brien's right-hand man, Tim Kelly, who had the OC title but didn't call plays the majority of his time here. Then you got Pep Hamilton, who's been a head coach in the XFL, head coach GM in the XFL, offensive coordinator up and down the board. And then, by the way, James Campen from Green Bay, you got to believe he's some level of run game coordinator. How do you is that normal as you look around the league when new coaches are hired to have that many different offensive minds and not really seem to have much of a direction of what they want to do?
Well, I've worked with David Culley in Philly for a while, and he's one of my favorite people that I've ever worked with. That's number one. So I think the direction that they were trying to go is just to get as much experience and maybe get, as you mentioned, try to make that a positive, all the different ideas to bring them all together to come with one direction at some point, but to not just say, hey, all these guys think exactly the same or doing the same exact thing and put them in the room. And so everybody has groupthink. From outside looking in, it's looking like, hey, let's take all these different ideas, these different places, this different amount of experience, bring it in here. Let's take the best of everything and match it for what the Texans will eventually do. So if you're looking at a positive of that situation, that's how I would kind of approach it.
Mark Ross here with us with NFL Network, analyst with NFL Network. You said you worked with David Culley in Philadelphia. Not everyone is a head coach. Not everyone is that. Some guys, that just isn't what their lane is. Do you believe, from your experience with David Culley, that he is a head coach?
Well, yeah, he'll be a tremendous motivator for the team. You know, players that really gravitated, he'd be a receivers coach with my time in Philly, that they really responded to him. You know, he can motivate, and then it's incumbent on someone like that to hire a great staff around him, so he doesn't have to take. But the great head coaches I've been around have been, had a lot of respect from, you know, I've been around Andy Reid and Coach Tom Coughlin, two entirely different personalities, but they both demanded respect. They both were leaders of the entire organization. And, you know, I think being around Culley, again, he's one of my favorite people, despite he used to destroy me in tennis all the time. Besides that, you know, I think he's a tremendous individual, and I think he'll get the team playing hard for him.
Mark, let's talk about the quarterback situation. Obviously, we have no idea what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson, but the guys that look like they're going to be in camp, you've got Tyrod Taylor, as you would think would be the starter, but then they also just drafted Davis Mills out of Stanford with their first pick of the draft this year in the third round. Do you see that as the majority of folks do, of Tyrod Taylor is going to be the bridge the gap guy here, and you just evaluate Davis Mills as you go along? Or given the situation that the Texans are in, do you see Davis Mills getting a little bit of run this year, maybe sooner rather than later, so the Texans know what they have moving forward with draft picks in the future?
Yeah, I would think Tyrod would play, and just evaluating Davis Mills this year, he's far from ready. You know, he's not one of those guys up top, the Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence's or Zach Wilson's, that you're looking to say, hey, let's go in here and play. You know, Davis Mills was a projection. He's a developmental type of guy who I couldn't see getting thrown out there next year and being a competent type of quarterback. It'll take a while for him to sit, learn, develop his skills. And, you know, Tyrod's been there and done that to mixed results. You know, there's a reason why he's a backup, I think. You know, that's kind of what he is, a backup talent, not a playoff winning sort of quarterback. But he does, you know, Coach Culley, they were together in Buffalo as well, so familiar with it. So I would look for this year as kind of a see what happens year, a Tyrod Taylor play year, and then after the next season, reevaluate it again.
Mark, a lot of the talk around here is obviously the Texans, for the first time in a while, know that they've got a first-round pick next year. And with the Watson stuff hanging out there, could potentially have multiple first-round picks next year. So I think the Davis Mills conversation is one that's hot right now, because what do you do if you're the Texans, right? I mean, if Davis Mills is a guy that you felt like taking him in the third round this year was a good idea with your first, what you can call a premium draft pick, if that's the direction you choose to go, how do you then turn around next year and look at one of your first round picks, and go, okay, we need to take another quarterback, right? I mean, how do you, with your experience, man, how do you handle next year's draft, knowing that you took a quarterback this year, early in the third round? Is that a factor at all or no?
No, not at all. We've seen in the last few years what Arizona did, trading up to get Josh Rosen, and then a year later taking Kyler Murray at number one. They realized they made a mistake, and then they moved on. So I think that day and age of saying, well, we're going to handicap the franchise because, you know, that, let's hope we're saying Davis Mills is not the answer. You can't say next year, well, we see some apprehension with him. Let's not use his first round pick because we took him in the third. You have to do what's best as a general manager, head coach for the franchise and the betterment of the franchise. And if they're sitting up there with the first round pick at the top of the draft and there's a quarterback who they feel is the guy, they have to take him, and they can't be held back by what they did this year. It's always about moving forward, the positive results, trying to help the franchise grow and get better as a whole, and not just, hey, well, we did that, so we can't do it again.
Mark Ross here with us, NFL Network analyst. And before we get you out, where is Aaron Rodgers playing football next year?
Man, you talk about drama and soap opera, and the NFL Network is loving it. ESPN is loving this. I mean, every writer in America is loving it.
We love it.
It's incredible how this just got delivered right on draft day, this story that's going to carry on forever. And I don't know. Every day it changes. You hear different things, and it just seems to be a new drama, a new layer added to the drama every day. So I'm just going to say Green Bay. It'll get worked out in Green Bay. He'll be in Green Bay. But I really have no idea the way this is. I've never really seen anything to get to this bad of a spot with a player in a franchise.
Do you agree with Terry Bradshaw when he said that he thinks he's weak by the way that he's going about business here with Green Bay?
No, not at all. You know, I'd say this players nowadays are kind of seeing it. It may not be all Aaron doing this. Obviously, his agent probably has a little play in this, but hey, players are kind of seeing what their voice is now, and who knows what the behind the scenes conversations that Aaron has had with the front office, with the GM, with the ownership. So, to call it weak, I don't think that's fair of Terry.
Mark, I just saw where you spent 11 years with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I think I deserve a little more respect from you than that. I mean, I did throw four interceptions in the second half for you dirty dogs against y'all. I mean, at least you can do is come on here and talk me up
a
little bit,
man.
Yeah, I mean, I won you a damn game. I won you more games than some of them damn quarterbacks you evaluated and drafted up here.
How about that?
Come on, Mark. I'll be damned.
I appreciate that.
He was behind Danny Cannell, I'm guessing.
Oh, man.
No, I was with Philly at the time, I think. Yeah, I was Philly. You were what, about 2099, I would guess?
Yeah, that's when I came out, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to New York to 07, so I was with the Eagles at the time, the McNabb years. So I don't think you helped us win any games throwing picks with us against the Eagles.
I don't know. He might have. He might have snuck one in against
snuck a pick in.
All right, Mark, man, thank you. Thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate you giving
sure,
us your
my
time.
My pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.